This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We start with a dramatic case of creative accounting at Walmart's biggest global competitor.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. A major grocery store chain based in Europe but with U.S. connections today is grappling with accounting irregularities. The apparent Rob Peter to pay Paul style accounting has surfaced at Tesco, the British grocery store company that started fresh and easy in the U.S. and has global sales that are often second only to Walmart. A Tesco whistleblower is helping authorities with the investigation. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen is following this from London. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, David.
What apparently has been going on at Tesco?
Well, the firm admitted over the weekend that a whistleblower had come forward to say that it had overstated its profits for the first half of the year by borrowing some earnings that it knew was coming up in the second half of the year to make the picture look a little rosier, David, at $400 million or so.
Now, the context here is what? There was a leadership change at Tesco going on around the same time.
The chief executive in July stepped down completely unexpectedly following a profits warning. It was even the day before a huge anniversary party for him, which was cancelled. But the new chief executive from the consumer goods manufacturer Unilever, he wasn't due to start until later in the year. Four current employees have been suspended, and they are apparently helping get to the bottom of what's been going on.
And what about the auditors here? The auditors say they didn't pick this up?
PricewaterhouseCoopers is the current auditor. Deloitte has been brought in to try and investigate what's been going on. But PwC has been auditing the firm's accounts for 31 years. So you've got to wonder whether that's going to reopen the debate about whether a firm should keep the same accounting firm over that length of time. Although there's been no accusation of wrongdoing at PwC, I should say.
All right. The BBC's Jonathan Frewen in London. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, David.
Tesco stock is down more than 7% in London. An estimated 310,000 people took to the streets of New York City Sunday calling for policy action on climate change. The demonstration was timed to draw the world's attention to the United Nations Climate Change Summit kicking off tomorrow. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more.
There were lifelong activists and people who had never joined a protest before. Their list of concerns was long and varied, but the targets were mostly clear. The politicians and companies, marchers wanted press to take more action on global warming.
This side says corporations are killing our planet.
Retired clergyman Benjamin Bright Cruz came from New Jersey.
Corporations generally don't care about the environment. Theirs is a profit motive.
Who got the power? What kind of power?
Several labor unions were among the roughly 1,500 organizations involved in the march. But many people simply came on their own, hoping their numbers would raise awareness. Lou Petrie came from Virginia with her husband and son.
Really, America needs to lead. It's so embarrassing that America is not leading on this issue.
She'll also be looking to the UN, hoping world leaders get the message that climate change is an issue people are willing to fight for. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The key index on the London stock market, the 100-share index, is down 0.8%. The Hang Seng stock index in Hong Kong fell 1.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures, which can hint about opening prices on Wall Street, are all down at the moment. We've entered the autumn, and it's later this fall when policymakers at the Federal Reserve are set to taper away their stimulus. This is the extraordinary bond buying designed to keep the U.S. economy flush with cash as we moved out of the financial crisis. As the special bond buying comes to an end, it's a useful moment to think about alternatives. The next time a country needs emergency stimulus, instead of central bank bonds, how about if the government just hands out cash right and left willy-nilly? Mark Blythe is a Brown University political economist, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
You got a better idea?
I think I do. Think about it this way. All you're actually doing is trying to turn the entire financial sector into a giant stimulus instrument by distorting houses, bonds, stocks, and everything else you can get your hand on to basically dupe people into doing something they don't want to do, which is borrow more money. Wouldn't it be great to just take a smaller proportion of that and then just give it to households directly?
Like how? Drop it from a helicopter?
Oddly enough, that's what Milton Friedman called it. So Friedman thought it was a good idea, and actually so did Keynes, so both sides of the spectrum are on this one. We live in a world where we've decided central banks are the only institutions that can do anything. But all they've got is two tools, the ability to buy assets and the interest rate. So we're saying if you really want them to solve recessions, give them the ability to put cash directly into households rather than the banking system in the hope that people somehow end up spending more because they're borrowing more.
Now, I'm all for money raining down on my head, but where would the money come from, these direct transfers? I mean, not printing money, that's the other way of doing it.
Well, this is it. We're printing, but what we're actually saying is print a lot less and transfer more, and you'll get more bang for the buck. If you take the 2008 stimulus as an example, we estimate that between 5% of GDP and 7% of GDP would give you the same effect as the much larger amount we've spent doing quantitative easing. People have a kind of fear implicitly that this is somehow money printing. But, you know, we've been doing that already, and we've been doing a lot more. We want to do less.
All right, well, now it's been on our air. It's been in Foreign Affairs. We'll see if they take it up. Brown University's Mark Blythe, along with Eric Lonergan, wrote the piece in Foreign Affairs magazine called Print Less, But Transfer More, Why Central Banks Should Give Money Directly to the People. Professor Blythe, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the missing CEO of Ultrasonic, a big Chinese shoe manufacturer, has turned up. He denies taking off with a lot of the company's money. Wu Qingyong says he was on vacation and lost his mobile phone. He says he wants to return to the company and to give back any missing money. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.